Wisconsin Eyes and Wisconsin Dells at the 2017 Republican State Convention. We're interviewing, as we always do, Speaker Robin Voss. Mr. Speaker, thanks for making time.
I always love it. Thanks, Steve.
I want to come back to transportation funding. Because
my favorite topic.
I know. I've only been to the Capitol a few years, but I'm still amazed because you had pre-session. You're talking about more bonding as a non-starter. Mm-hmm. And then the Senate Majority Leader floats the possibility of issuing more bonds, but from a different pocket, a different account from the general fund. Now, does that make any difference if we bond from the general fund as opposed bond for the transportation fund, Mr. Speaker?
No.
It doesn't. It's still borrowing, right?
Well,
what am I missing?
So let me say this. In my mind, the general fund borrowing, let's just take that aspect, is for the maintenance, repair, and construction of state buildings. Vertical construction. You go around the state, there's an awful lot of needs. You go to UW-Platteville, they have an engineering building that was built before I was born and needs to be remodeled.
You're getting those emails too?
I am, and it's real, right? I mean, I go to UW-Parkside. They've got the exact same issue. You go to state facilities. I mean, my colleague Dave Steffen has a prison in Green Bay that has serious safety and structural issues.
It's one of the oldest in the state.
Exactly. So you go around these things.
Scraping that one and building a new one in Brown County?
I would favor an update. Maybe it's not in Brown County. Maybe it's in Kewaunee. Maybe it's in Columbia. Who knows
somewhere
where it would
valley.
Be. But it could be anywhere.
Right.
But what I would say is I'm open to all those discussions, but it's why bonding, I'm not opposed to the idea for long-term investments. In the general fund, it's for vertical buildings. In the transportation fund, it's for flat construction, mm-hmm. bridges, roads, all those kind of things. And we've already done more than enough of that. We have a system that can't sustain itself, that even if we don't borrow any more money, because of the actions we've taken in the past, debt service still goes up to a level where we've just about maxed out our state's credit card. I'm not going to continue to do that, which, you know, there are very few things that I'm trying to be absolute on, but we are not going to kick the can down the road. We have caucused on it multiple times. I feel very confident where the Assembly Republican Caucus is at. We talked about it last summer. We said it was one of our top three priorities. We campaigned on a fix. We saw what happened in the elections. They rewarded us with giving us a majority to try again. Governor Walker said he won't raise the tax unless another one is lowered. I took him at his word. Dale Coyne put together, I think, a complex but comprehensive plan that reduces income taxes and raises revenues for transportation. That's our position. We're not going to borrow more. So while I greatly respect Senator Fitzgerald, I'm open to bonding for vertical construction out of the general fund, but we are not going to bond for roads out of that.
Do you think Representative Coinga's proposal, which is was adopted by your caucus in concept?
In concept. Not every single part everybody agrees with
that. I understand. Did it get a fair hearing? Because the governor pretty quickly said he didn't like parts of it, and then the state budget director, state revenue secretary, and then Mr. Fitzgerald, when he at the same session with reporters, says he doesn't detect any momentum for it. Did Representative Coinga's package get a fair hearing?
You know, it's the political world we live in. You know, I guess everybody can adopt their own strategies. I try very hard to let people go out and make their case if they're trying to present a new idea. That's my style. You know, I try not to immediately veto something. That's why, if you'll notice, I normally say, hey, here's our principles. I'm open-minded. Even our campus free speech bill. Look, I think we have a really good idea, but if there are other ideas to come forward, I'm not going to say no. We have two competing versions that are mostly similar. Mm-hmm. I think that's healthy for the debate and the discussion. So I would say the same thing about transportation. I would like to see a Fiscal Bureau paper that actually puts the Senate's position in a document. We have an Assembly paper. We know what the governor's position is, which for me is parts of it are fine, but a lot of it's a non-starter. So I guess I want to see what the Senate's is, and then the three of us, our bodies, should sit down and negotiate. But I'm also open to saying, look, I'm not going to hold up education funding, university funding, funding for environmental protection, or making sure we keep prisoners in jail because we can't agree on transportation. Okay. So when people say they don't want to break it out, I have no idea why they would do that. Let's pass what we can. I will sit down every day and negotiate if that makes a difference. But I can't do it only through tweets. And I can't do it only through position papers that are in somebody's head but never on paper.
So you're open to the idea of funding transportation with a separate bill once you get the rest of the state budget in line?
Definitely. I mean, it's been done before. Is it ideal? Probably not. But I also think that we have such general agreement. There's tax relief. There's all kinds of good things in that budget. let's pass the things that we agree on and come back. And if it means we're back in the fall to agree on transportation, that's okay. We'll come back after my wedding. It'll be fine.
October 7th.
That's right. We'll be fine. But I think at the same time, we're at base right now, which means no new borrowing, and most of the projects are going to be stopped because I think it's $800 million of projects are using borrowed money. Well, we can't do that every single time. We've already done that far too long. So we're going to see a dramatic drop-off in construction. And I think that's unfortunate because we need more construction, not less, but not if it's on the credit card.
The context of Senator Fitzgerald's comments was if we borrowed more general fund, which is this pocket, the main checkbook, that would be a bridge to tolling. That was kind of where he was coming from. Now, I know you're interested in tolling.
I am, sure.
But federal law would have to be changed. Mm-hmm. We'd have to get authority. So what about the strategy of bonding again until we could get, to use Senator Fitzgerald terms, the potential billions in revenue from tolling?
You know what? Here's what I'd be willing to do, because once again, I'm open-minded. I'd be willing to get on a plane with Senator Fitzgerald and with Governor Walker to go to Washington to say to Speaker Ryan, let's get this done, and as soon as we get the option to toll, we'll pass a transportation bill. I'm not going to do it again on the come, which is what we've tried to do. I mean, I think, I won't take all the credit, but I think I was one of the leading people to start talking about tolling 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's taken people 5 years to be open to the idea. We can't wait five more years for it to actually happen. It has to happen this year so that we can begin to implement, which is 2 or 3 years away. So if it's another idea of we'll try our best, but a wink and a nod never happens, I'm not going to deal with that.
So you're open to putting a budget on the governor's desk by the July 1 timetable that funds everything but transportation, then coming back after your October 7th.
Or it could be before. I'll negotiate all summer.
Okay.
I'm happy to.
Fund transportation separately.
Right. But I don't feel this need that we have to keep everything together. I mean, some states do it that way. Some states don't. There's no perfect mechanism. Of course, it's easier to keep it all together and have a single vote on a single bill. But I also know we're not going to get there if the only offer is more borrowing to spend.
At your press conference before the session, you were also asked about the decision to not go along with the governor's plan to self-insure. Mm-hmm. I was intrigued by something you said. You said ETF has a surplus of, if my notes are right, between 88 and 120 million?
Correct.
Are you surprised that they have that much of a surplus? And is that one way to make up the 60 million that wouldn't be coming from the governor's budget? By self-insuring?
I think it's a potential. I am not an expert in insurance. Luckily, we have two and probably more in our caucus, but Representatives Nygren and Felskowski do it for a living, so they really understand how this process works. And the whole benefit of going out and contracting with HMOs is so that they bear the risk. That's the whole part. So the idea of having that large an amount of reserves doesn't make sense to me just as a private sector citizen. Okay. You have a reserve if you're self-insured because you want to be able to say, geez, if somebody gets cancer, it's $1 million case, we can afford to cover that. Mm-hmm. But since we're not self-insured, I don't understand the reason for this big reserve. Now, I'm sure the governor had the right thinking that we would just go along with self-insurance to begin to build up that fund. But now that we've said we're not going to do it, that fund becomes available, in my mind, to be used for other purposes.
Do you think that reserve at ETF is comparable to the $1 billion that the CPA caucus found in the UW system, Mr. Speaker?
I don't think it's comparable only because the numbers are so different. And it's not hidden. The numbers there, we know it's there. So I think it does come down to just like we used the university's reserve and we needed it and said, draw down your reserves before we give you any more money. They did that in many cases, which is why we have a pretty large increase in university investment. I would say the same thing with ETF. Of course, Governor Walker's budget didn't fulfill raises for the UW system actually funded internally.
He tied it to other ways.
So we're going to probably use the tuition cut to make sure that those are funded so the university doesn't take a cut. But there's another option is to just say to ETF, you have to provide those raises out of the reserves, which would save us money in another pot. So there's a lot of ways we can still solve the same problem.
Okay, in your speech, you talked about your Campus Free Speech Act, mm-hmm. Speech to the convention.
Yeah.
The $3 million spent to bring speakers, was that just on the UW system campuses? Question one, question two, over what period?
Yeah, so it was a little bit over $2 million, so it's millions.
Million.
Yeah, a little
Thanks
over $2 million. But we did look and say it's on the UW system campuses over the course of the last couple years, and we actually tried to figure out as much as we could which speakers were decidedly liberal and which were decidedly conservative. There were a lot who were in the middle, but the vast majority, when somebody was paid with a viewpoint, presented a liberal viewpoint. And I have no problem with that whatsoever, Steve. Bring them to campus. I think that's great. But shouldn't we have the other side also at the table, or at least on the same institution in the same year, to present another side so students who want to do that sifting and winnowing can hear both speakers and make their own decision? And when I see across campus, I mean, even, you know, and we are lucky, not a lot of it has happened at the university here in Wisconsin. Of course, the Ben Shapiro incident, but it's not normal. But I also think we don't pass laws only to be reactionary. We want to be thinking ahead. So this doesn't happen in Wisconsin. We know that Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education, just spoke and was roundly booed, where she could barely even be heard. That is not what American democracy is supposed to be like. We can be better, and I think we will.
Should lawmakers serve on a board that would annually look at some potential disciplines? Since lawmakers fund the UW system, is there a conflict there?
I don't think so. I mean, the whole goal of our effort is to really make sure that there's transparency. So one of the legislators during my testimony actually brought up, would you be okay with having Democrats on the Free Speech Council? And I said, of course. You know, it's not meant to be partisan. It's just meant to be requiring the open-mindedness and the reporting that we will want to see happen, so that we know if there's an incident on Whitewater or Platteville or Oshkosh or Madison, that something's done and we know what occurred, so we can guarantee that no one's rights were abridged to protest, but that also no one's rights were abridged to be heard.
Final question. You're very busy with your focus on Madison, but President Trump has had a very interesting week. His decision to fire the FBI, are you concerned that there's a growing lack of confidence in President Trump, both within and without your party?
Boy, you know, it's a good question. I hate to admit it, I just don't focus that much on what's going on in Washington. You know, I do a little just as a casual, you know, observer like you are. You know, I have no idea of the background, okay? I only know what's in the media. When I have had to fire somebody, and it's only happened rarely in my life, I looked him in the eye and told him why. I think you should do that. That's just me as an American citizen saying if I have somebody who works for me, they owe it to themselves to understand the problem so that they can hopefully make a correction. I would have brought James Comey into my office, or at least talked to him so you didn't hear about it on TV. That's me. Do I disagree with the decision? I don't. I don't know enough about all the intricacies. But I do think it's ironic that Democrats spent most of the last 6 months making sure Americans knew that this guy was a crook and a cheat and all these kind of things. And then President Trump makes a decision and they instantly flip. Well, that's also a little disingenuous. So it makes you wonder, why are people so sick of politics? It's because of that. Stick with what you believe in. Praise President Trump, perhaps, for making the decision, but making sure that the investigation was going to continue. And if you want to attack him on the investigation, I think that's different than looking so politically transparent that you really embarrass yourself.
Some pundits yesterday used the term constitutional crisis in Washington. Do you believe we're there?
I don't.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I guess I look at it and say, you know, we have a system that has stood the test of time in so many ways. No one person is going to bring it down. We have all the checks and balances that were there, starting with the Constitutional Convention all the way through today. I know our country's great. We're going to be fine. There's always bumps in the road. But at the end of the day, we're in the best country on the planet.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss at the 2017 Republican Convention.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Always good to chat.
Thank you.